me. I don't care what nobody else say. That's good enough for me. And God said it. Amen. When he says something to you, listen to what he has to say. Because it's for nobody else but you. Amen, amen. And listen, I am indeed glad to be here today. Some people don't know, and this is not time for testimony service, but I'm going to tell you that I cannot promise what's going to happen up here today. Amen. It's my first time. I took some speech lessons and everything like that, but sometimes when I get tired, my speech is not that great, but I know God will make a way. Amen. God will. He will make a way. Amen. So I am indeed glad to be here just standing, amen, before God. And I got my water here. Amen. I got my wife here. I got certain things here. It's going to make everything okay. But I got God here by my side. Amen. So I'm indeed glad to be here. And one thing that has been said, and I know God is good, but sometimes I just get emotional sometimes. And I just started crying for no reason. And that's different for me because I used to be able to control all my emotions. And even though I didn't want to cry sometimes, I would just hold it all in. I just know how to be reserved and everything. But now I find myself being more emotional and just say what's on my mind and let my feelings just be known. And I just can't stop it. I want to stop it, but it just happens. And so I'm just asking you to just pray with me and be with me. Amen. As I stand before God's people. Amen. Today, let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this day. Father God, we thank you for life, health, and strength. Father God, we thank you for what you are doing in our lives today. Father God, because you've been better to us than we have been to ourselves. You are a company keeper. Father, you just make a way out of no way. You give us what we need. You take care of us today. And for that, we say thank you. We thank you for the ups and the downs. We thank you for the trials and tribulations. But Father God, we thank you for letting us have a mind to worship you in spirit and in truth. And give you all the glory that you are need, that you need. Because there's no one else that deserves everything but you and what you are doing in our lives. Father God, right now I ask you to just be with our pastor. Our Father, take care of him. Our Father, be by his side. Father God, we ask you to just give him the desires of his heart. Father God, as he lean and depend upon you and seek your face in all things. Father, we ask all of these prayers in your Son Jesus Christ's name we pray and we say amen. 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 Again, I want to just say thank you. And thank you to my pastor. And he called me yesterday and I talked to him yesterday. He says, we out here enjoying, we ain't going to the parks, we just resting. Amen. Not doing a whole lot. And wherever they at, they got the place to themselves pretty much, and they're just enjoying themselves. And I want to say thank God for that. Because sometimes it's good just to get away and just reflect on what everything that God has been doing in your lives. Amen. Let's get into the word. Amen. What I would like for you to do today is for clear your mind and forget about what you've known about Christmas. I want you to rediscover Christmas. And whatever you think it is, whatever it means to you, throw it away. So now I want you to challenge yourself to look at things differently than maybe that you ever have been before. I want you to think about what Christ means to you. And we're going to be, for the next 4 weeks, we're going to be talking about rediscovering Christmas, because this year it's going to mean something different, or it should mean something different to you. Amen. We see that today that we always have a "where were you" moment for Jesus Christ. Where was you when this happened, or where was you when that happened? Every generation has one. Where was you when Neil Armstrong landed on the moon? Some of y'all might not know who Neil Armstrong was. Where was you when you had heard that JFK or Martin Luther King had died or got shot and killed? Where was you when the Columbine murders took place? Amen. Where was you when 9/11 happened? Amen. And you thought it was just a dream. Where was you when O.J. Simpson was found innocent? Amen. I remember us being at work, watching the news. Production stopped. They didn't care about money. They didn't care about nothing else but O.J. Simpson at that time. And we sit around and they brought the TV out. And it was a "where were you" moment. Where was you when you heard that Tupac Shakur had got shot? Amen. Where was you at? Where were you when all these things happened? And there will be other times that we can say, or there'll be every other moment, or there will be more moments to say, where was you when this or that happened? Where was you when you first realized that the virus, that's all I'm going to call it, the coronavirus, was real, that it's taking place in our lives? Because the coronavirus is real. Moments like these are big. They change lives. They change things. There's no going back. Culture shifts on lives are never the same. Unfortunately, many of us have heard many of these things tend to be negative, big events. They strike us with no warning and introduce us to a sense of uncertainty into our lives. It's nothing familiar that God doesn't know about. But this is 2020. Wow, what a year that we are having. Some of us have said this has been the worst year of our adult lives. Everything that happened can happen and has happened. It's been one thing after another. Uncertainty has filled us all. Amen. This one has to rank as the all-time 10 unexpected things that happened this year. The coronavirus 2020. You could write a sci-fi novel straight out the headlines, either that or the headlines that have been straight out of a sci-fi thriller. You know what's on the list? We all have been living it for almost a full year. Global pandemic, economic recession, mass unemployment, political division, cultural upheaval, racial divide, amen, wildfires. Everything that has happened in our lives, amen, everything that could happen has happened. I'm not trying to bring us down, but it's the reality that things happen in our lives, and it all hasn't been good. We have lost loved ones. It's been a very rough year for everybody, amen? But it's the reality that is going on today. It's been a tough year. And if there's a time that we need Christmas, this is the year that we need Christmas. If there's a year that we need Christ in our lives, brothers and sisters, this is the year that we need Christ in our lives. As we enter the Christmas season, let us rediscover that Christmas is a season of hope, a season of expectations. Amen. Waiting waiting on God and longing for the newborn King. This is a season to prepare our hearts and help us place our focus on a far greater story than our own story. The story of God's redeeming love for the world. It is not a season of pretending to be happy or uncovering up the plain of hardships we have experienced during the past year or that continue to experience. It is a season of digging deep into the reality that there is a true and a living God. God sent his son into the world to be Emmanuel, which means God with us. He is never going to leave us, nor will he forsake us. It's a season of expectation and preparation, an opportunity to align ourselves with God's presence more than just the heat of the season. And this is a hectic season that we're in right now, but it's God's presence that should outweigh everything, because God loves us and has a wonderful plan for us. Amen. We're going to read Luke, the second chapter, the 22nd and 23rd verse, and we're going to ask Tawana, can she read that for us? Amen. Go ahead. Amen. Luke 2, 22 through 38. It doesn't have it in the scripture. And there it goes.
And what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed him and told his mother Mary, "Indeed, this child is destined to cause the fall and rise of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed. And a sword will pierce your own soul, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." There was also a prophetess Anna, a daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was well along in years, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and was a widow for 84 years. She did not leave the temple, serving God night and day with fasting and prayers. At that very moment, she came up and began to thank God and to speak about him to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. It says Simeon and Anna were sparks of hope in Israel. More than that, they were torches of hope, expecting God to come through and do what he had promised. He said in the script, he says, "You're not going to die until you see my salvation." Amen. And so he stood on that word. Amen. They believed this. They were waiting for this to happen. But did you notice the account that neither Simeon or Anna was the least bit surprised when everything happened? It didn't catch them by surprise. They knew what was going to take place. because they was waiting for the Messiah. Almost everyone else in the Christmas story so far has taken a little convincing, was taken a little convincing about the whole arrangement. They think God didn't need an angel to get the message to these two faith giants. They knew what was going to take place in their lives. They were just waiting for it to take place. They was watching, listening, and expecting. They were filled with hope, and that hope made them ready for what was about to come in this day. Day after day, year after year, Anna and Simeon, they had served God faithfully, waiting for what was going to take place. Inspired and fulfilled by hope that God was at work. Even though they couldn't see it, they still believed that it was going to take place in their lifetime. Even if they were surrounded by hardship, it didn't make a difference. That hope was going to come. Even as time passed and they was getting older and older and older, it didn't make a difference. Simeon and Anna knew that worshiping him would be to their benefit. Serving others, taking care of the widows and the orphans, one stayed faithfully at a time as they waited on Christ to come. Then they said to themselves, the Messiah, Christ is here, the newborn King. And they rejoiced and celebrated, amen. And they had the new hope into the people that they were talking to, that Mary and Joseph, who were still figuring out just what was going to happen, what it meant to be earthly parents, and God's son, Jesus the Messiah, was coming. Simeon and Anna revealed several things about hope, and it's powerful that we can take away and apply to our daily lives today. Number one, hope sees beyond today. And I was trying to figure out today, what's the difference between hope and faith? They kind of pretty much sounds the same thing, because I hope something happened. I have faith something's going to happen. Amen. But I come to realize that it said that hope is the fuel of faith. First, you got to hope things are going to happen. Then your faith can kind of like kicks in and takes it on. But if you're always going to be a negative person and don't think ain't nothing going to happen in your lives, I'm not going to get that new job. I'm not going to get no better. I'm not going to be made whole. Then it's never going to happen. But if you start to have faith and you start to have hope, first of all, and start to see yourself better than what you see yourself, then faith kicks in and say, okay, I'm going to take it the rest of the way. I got this. I got you covered. But if I feel like I'm already down and out, possibilities ain't going to happen in my life because I'm a negative person all the time. Hope is that whisper of maybe, just maybe, it's going to get better. It's a spark in the cloud of darkness that catches flame. In other words, I realize too that hope is the dawning of a new day. It's going to get better after a while. It can't rain all the time in my life. I'm always in bad luck. Things has got to get better. Amen. But if you don't think hope is coming in your life, guess what? It ain't going to come. If you can't see yourself getting better, you ain't going to never be better. Amen. But once you think it, amen, then like I said, your faith kicks in. No matter how bad things are, or how bad this year has been, or the struggles that we are going through right now, no matter what kind of season of darkness and pain you are in, let me encourage you that not to abandon hope that things are going to get better. Hope is still alive and kicking. Amen. In our deepest pain and most homeless and hope and most hopeless circumstances, hope chases away the darkness and uncertainty. Hope is alive. Why is it alive? Because God is with you. God is with us. Amen. I tell people all the time, because God loves me, he ain't gonna let nobody else hurt me. I don't care what your intentions is, you just can't do me no harm, because God's love is greater than anything that you can do or you think you can do. Amen. Hope precedes our present reality. Hope by its very nature exists in the uncertainty before it. Exists in questions. It doubts even that the unclear sense of what is going to come. But hope is the willingness and desire to go beyond if we believe, amen, what our present circumstances and reality are. Because this leads us to our point, our next point, number two. God is with us. God is with us here, now, and always. Friends, today, with God, there is no uncertainty. Amen. He won't leave you or forsake you. God knows your pain and challenges and struggles in life. He was not taken by surprise when the coronavirus took place. He knew in 2020 that where we were going to be at right now. Amen. This has been a great year, even in its uncertainty. Amen. I started to think about, we all think about hard times and tribulations and things is not what they used to be. Amen. But I can say this, and I will say it right now. How many paychecks have I missed since it's been a bad year? None. My job came and told me, we're going to close down. And I don't care what they meant for bad, God meant it for good. They closed down our plant. And so they just told me, get my computer, stay at home, don't come to work. And then they even got so far as to say, don't even answer your phone. Don't do nothing. But guess what they did? They paid me for every paycheck. I did not miss a beat. So I know this has been a bad year for some, but for me, I've had no problems. Amen. It was just like getting free money, because I already had a gravy job. And my wife sometimes say, they pay you to do what? I say, basically, they pay me to do nothing. Amen. It's like if everything goes right, my hardest part is just getting up going to work. Because when I'm at work, I do nothing. I got to find something to do. And that ain't nothing but God in my life. Amen. Even when I was sick, I would just get the mail. And guess what? Sometimes there would be a check. There would be a check in there. Amen. Insurance was good. Amen. Things. So I didn't really do nothing for the year 2020. But guess what? I never missed anything. Amen. I was able to pay my bills. Amen. My wife was well taken care of. Amen. Things in our house was done that needed to be done or whatever. That's meaning God is with us. Amen. And I said, she told me, because I used to have to say, she said all the time, well, you done worked hard before. Now it's your season to rest. And I would take that gladly. Amen. Amen. She done told me a lot. And there's some things that I used to be ripping and running. I couldn't do this and I couldn't do that. But now it's time to rest. She said, there's no problem with going to sleep. Amen. I didn't know what 8 hours of sleep was. Amen. But then I had to realize, and she told me this. She said, rest will heal you and make you better. So if you want to go to sleep in the afternoon and go to sleep, go to sleep. Amen. I'm like, well, this needs to be done and that needs to be done. It'll be okay. Get your rest. Amen. So that's what I'm doing right now. So I would say, God is with me. Amen. God is with me. He sees you. He hears you. He is Emmanuel, which I said again, God is with us. He knew what we was going to be going through. He knew the coronavirus was going to be here in this year. But his love for you outweighs everything. Amen. Because he is Emmanuel. Amen. So the things that you think you can't do, you can do those things because he is with you. Amen. He is with you. Amen. It is hope filled and fanned within us by God's Spirit. Even in your own weakness, even in our own weakness, even in our grim circumstances and desperate pain, when the faintest glimmer of hope seems too far away or so impossible, when we feel too weak or you feel too weak to carry on, you got to just keep on carrying on. Amen. His Spirit is with us. Amen. His Spirit helps us to restore hope by reminding us of God's faithfulness and promises. His Spirit leads us into God's Word and is a reminder of His Word to all of us that God has done what God has done for us and all He has promised to do. God has not promised anything that He has not delivered on. He did not tell me what was going to happen beforehand and then lied about it, and it did not happen. God cannot do that. Our God, or Emmanuel, is with us. What He has promised His people throughout history and even to this day's message of hope, including these, and I have to realize this. He says, "For I know the plans I have to you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and do you no harm, plans to give you hope and a future. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name." He called you by name. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep you over. When you walk through fire, it says, when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not overtake you. Because it says in His Word that when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they went through the fire, they didn't look like what they should have been looking like. They was all brand new. Because God is with you, and He's going to take care of you. So I don't care what you are going through, you ain't going to look like what you've been through. Amen. When I walk and I do different things and when I talk, people say, "You done had a what?" I said, "I had a stroke." They said, "Well, you don't look like you done had a stroke." And when I was in the hospital and my wife had told me, she said, "You're not going to go to no nursing home. You're going to do in care here." And so I went downstairs and did my therapy and everything in the hospital. And I seen myself. And I seen what I was able to do after having a stroke. But then when I looked on the left and I looked on the right, I seen people that had strokes. And so I seen what should have had happened to me, but I wasn't in that same position that other people had been in, because they had strokes, but they were still living, but they had looked like not what I looked like. They couldn't talk like I had talked. And when I came home, I said, I want to drive. I got me a car out here. I want to drive my car. If I want to go to the store, I want to go to the store. I want to be able to do different things that I can do. And I felt like in my mind, I could do these things. But if I hit you and you don't found out I had a stroke, then you're going to sue me for everything I got. Amen. And I didn't want that to happen. So I would walk and do different things instead of getting behind my car and drive. And I had to get certified all over again. But I'm trying to say is like this. You might go through some things in your life, and things might beat you up, and things might tear you down, but you don't have to look like you've been beat up and you've been torn down and the world has got the better of you, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Amen. It says that I am more than a conqueror, that I can do all things through Christ that gives me strength. Amen. Just because my job has closed down, just because I can't go out and do the things that I used to do, I don't have to show it every day. I don't have to be defeated, because God is in my life and God has plans in my life. Amen. It says, I know the plans I have for Arthur. I got great work for Arthur to do. Amen. Plans to see him prosper and to do him no harm. And I thank God for that. Amen. It says, do you feel the hope leaping in these words that we use today? We are not alone. Even in our loneliest or darkest moments, Christ has come. Our God is with us every step of the way. He's never going to leave you. He's never going to leave you by yourself. He's always going to be with you. Number three, hope inspires us to carry on. It says that the Apostle Paul described the cycle of hope like this in Romans 5. From Romans 5, he explains that because of Jesus, we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. He has been given, that he who has given us today, amen, hope is from God. It's, this hope from God's Spirit does not put us to shame. It will not let us down. It will not disappoint us. Instead, it gives us a new and growing strength to see beyond our pain and confusion in front of us. Hope inspires us. Hope embodies us. Hope builds us up. Hope builds upon hope and keep us going no matter what is going on in our lives. We all go through things. And then when I lost my brother, amen, I felt it real. Felt it real hard. And I said, Lord, how am I going to make it? Because not only did I lose my brother, like I said, I lost my best friend. And I said, I'm not going to make it. And I said, I'm not going to do it. But God gives you hope and gives you faith that you're able to carry on and do. Even when you don't think you can do, you will find a way to get it done. Amen. And I told myself this at one time. I said, I'm never coming into the house of the Lord again, because I felt bad that my brother and my best friend was taken away. But like I told you before, I don't understand, but God knows, and he's not going to let anything happen to me that's going to hurt me, because God loves me so much that even the loss of my brother is not going to tear me up, and it's not going to tear me down, because God is on my side every step of the way. So I want to just say this in conclusion. What is your next step of hope today? What is your next step of hope this Christmas season? So often we think about what's going to happen tomorrow. We want everything right now. I can't wait. Amen. I don't want to celebrate Christmas on Christmas. I want to celebrate it a week before Christmas and this and this and this. I found myself in that same position. I was going to give my wife a Christmas present. I said, well, when do you want it? But that's not right, because Christmas is Christmas. Amen. You open your present on Christmas Day. Amen. It ain't going to be a week before. We ain't got to have it right now. I just can't wait. I want to see it now. You know, we live in a microwave world. Don't want to take time to let things happen. We just want to get it done now. Amen. And that's the way we are. It's not a privilege. Amen. Hope is not a privilege that we've been granted with. Amen. But in Christ, we have been given the end of the ultimate story. We already know what's going to happen at the end. Amen. Amen. In Christ, we have been given true life that transcends the pains of the earth and the brokenness of the present world. In this season, we can find hope in the arrival, amen, of Jesus Christ. We know that Jesus was going to come. We just got to wait. Amen. 9 months, he going to be here. Amen. So Christmas is already upon us. Amen. We're going to celebrate, but we're going to give him his flowers. Amen. Right now. We know that hope is going to come and things are going to be taken care of. We can draw hope from God's faithfulness and fulfilling his long-awaited promise of the Messiah. We can focus on the hope. God's continued work in all of us and even around us, that in one day, all of our sins will be taken away. In one day, that hope is going to come, that Christ is coming again. And in the midst of whatever life is throwing us, we can experience the hope of God's Spirit within us, carrying us, strengthening us, amen, and giving us the strength that we need, or what's the next step to take in our own personal lives. So my brothers and sisters today, you take that step towards hope this season. No matter what you are dealing with in your own personal lives and you're thinking that you are going through, Christ is coming again. Amen. He's going to take everything away. He is returning again, but we got to welcome him into our hearts and into our lives every day. This is the season of expectation. This is the season of great hope. You got to have hope that things are going to get better in your lives. No matter what you're going through, the loss of a loved one, sickness, loss of income, amen, family matters, no matter what you're going through, Christ knows what's going on in your life. There is no surprises within God, but he can do anything that he wants to do, and he will restore you. But first, you got to have hope that things are going to get better. You got to see yourself on top. You got to see yourself as the head and not the tail. You got to see yourself as first not the last. And if you have hope and you can think that these things are going to happen, then faith is going to take you the rest of the way. Amen. God is with us. God is with you. He is Emmanuel, which means God with us. Amen. Amen. Let's praise God for what he has done. Amen. There might be someone here today. There might be someone here today with all heads bowed and all eyes closed. They want to give their lives to Christ and want to say, God, I'm sorry for giving up on you. And you may have given up all hope, and all your hope is gone. But God has a way, and he will restore you back to yourself. Amen. But first you got to have hope and believe that it's going to get better. That you want a relationship with God. And if that's you today, we ask you to come forward. And if you're at home right now, we're going to ask you to come forward. And just say, I want to do better. I believe that things are going to get better in my life. No matter what trials or tribulations you are working with, God has an answer just for you. Will there be one today?